Please repeat after me. What? How? Why? What? How? Why? This is what is known as the Golden Circle. The Golden Circle is a way to look at the world, particularly a way to look at organizations, cultural systems, and to observe how they operate. Many of you might be familiar with a man named Simon Sinek. He is the author and the one who came up with the idea of the Golden Circle, what, how, and why. The majority of the world operates in knowing what they do. Most organizations and businesses can tell you what they do. We sell cars. We sell computers. Some people in an organization can tell you how they do that, but most people in the organization can't tell you how it actually happens. And very few people in an organization can tell you why. What, how, and why. Today in our gospel passage, Jesus is condemning religious leaders. And he's particularly pointing out that they are focused on the what. Last Wednesday, if you came to Mass on All Saints Day, which of course you all did, but maybe you went to Mass at a different church, another parish. But in my homily, I spoke about phylacteries. In our gospel passage today, Jesus is calling out the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they have made their phylacteries larger. What is a phylactery? Well, according to Jewish law in the book of Deuteronomy, faithful Orthodox Jews, when they pray, take a box and they put in this box little scrolls of scripture, and then they take the box and they literally strap it to their forehead and to their wrists. If you ever go to Israel, or if we ever can go to Israel again, hopefully soon, if you watch Orthodox Jews in the airport, on the airplanes, or if you go to the Wailing Wall, you'll notice every faithful Orthodox Jew straps scripture to their forehead and to their wrists. Now, it's not so much about the what, though. It's about the why. Why do they strap scripture to their foreheads and to their wrists? To remind them to think like God. And to remind them to act like God. To think and to act like God. That's the intent. That's the why behind the what. And Jesus is criticizing them because they're focusing on the what, but in neglect of the why. These men, these Pharisees and these Sadducees, have made their phylacteries even larger, and yet they aren't thinking like God, and they clearly are not acting like God. What's interesting is this, is Jesus doesn't get rid of the what. In fact, he says, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they preach, but they don't practice. And thus the what is important, but the what always has to be in relationship with the why. Like I said, most people know what they do. Some know how, but very few know the why. So Simon Sinek, as he expounds upon the Golden Circle, gives multiple examples. He speaks about the Wright brothers. He speaks about Martin Luther King. But he speaks a lot about Apple. Raise your hand if you have an Apple computer, phone, tablet, or device. In 1984, you can go actually and watch the Super Bowl commercial from 1984 from Apple. You can watch it on YouTube. Apple was an organization that founded itself particularly in its marketing strategies and the way that it runs its organization, focusing on the why, not on the what. This is how you would traditionally sell a computer. We have tons of gigabytes. We have the fastest network. We have a touchscreen screen. We have a great power cord. Do you want to buy my computer? And that's not at all how Apple has ever marketed itself. Apple computers and marketing sounds much more like this. We believe in innovation, setting new boundaries, Want to buy our computer? For them, it's not so much about the what as it is about the why. That they believe that innovation and pushing new boundaries is the way that one actually makes progress in our world and will ultimately help you. The same could be said about us as Christians. How do we try to market our faith? If you ask many people about Christianity, they'll start listing off a bunch of what's. If someone was to ask you, tell me about Christianity, many people will start off, well, you go to Mass every single Sunday, and you fast on Fridays, and you're supposed to do penance, and you pray a rosary, and you wear a scapular, and you're supposed to do corporate works of mercy, and you should give 10% of your money to the church, and that's all the what, and no one's attracted by that. What are they attracted to? My life was empty, and I found Jesus, and he gave me purpose and meaning. I was burdened by my sins, by guilt, and by shame, and I found freedom in Jesus. I felt alone, and then I found intimacy. I experienced death and grief and loss, and in Jesus I found hope. And because of that, I spend time with him in silent prayer. Because of that, I want to receive his body and his blood into mine. Because of that, I've consecrated my whole entire life and my family to him because when we start with the why, the what begins to make sense. If all we do is talk about the what, we aren't very good leaders. There's a difference between a leader and being inspired and led. Leaders have positions of power and authority. Those who lead inspire. Leaders have positions of power and authority, and they reinforce what must be done. Those who lead us inspire us. Whether it's an individual or an organization itself, we follow those who lead, those who inspire, not because we have to, but because we actually want to. But that desire comes from the why that's underneath. What, how, and why? We are called not to lead with the what, as the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, we're called to lead with the why. On November 1st, All Souls Day, I made the mistake of turning my radio on. It was a mistake because they were playing Christmas music, because clearly All Saints Day is the day that we start celebrating Christmas, which then had me thinking about our what, our how, and our why. Many people in our world right now are actually already celebrating Christmas. I went for a run on November 2nd, and as I was out running, there is a man putting a nativity scene in his front yard. Just like, that is awesome. I love nativity scenes. What do you do for Christmas? And is there a why behind your what? If many of you made a list today of what you're going to do in the next few months to prepare for the birth of Jesus, the list might be quite long. You're going to put Christmas lights on the outside of your house. You're going to bring a tree inside of your house. You're going to bake food. You're going to buy presents and give presents. That's the what that we do. The question is why. When someone says, "What are you doing today?" is your response, "I'm putting Christmas lights on the outside of my house." What if you led with the why? I believe that Jesus is the light of the world, and in my darkest hours, he has been my light, and so I'm putting lights on my Christmas house. I'm putting lights on my house. Imagine if every Christian this year, when they gave someone a Christmas present, which is a what, If they looked the other individual in the eye and they said, Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that I've ever been given, and he gives me his body and his blood at every single celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and because I know the gift that he gives to me, I want to give you this fuzzy sweater. Our world would change if we led with our why, but often we get trapped in the what. Organizations and people that lead with the why inspire others. It doesn't just change businesses, it doesn't just change parishes, it can change marriages, it can change parenting. It can change our relationship with our parents. If we start with the why and not with the what. In just a few moments, we are going to crown this statue of Jesus. That's what we're doing. The question is why. If we just focus on the what, I'm going to place a crown on Jesus' head, and you can leave Mass today and be like, Father Meyer put a crown on Jesus' head. Or we can focus on the why. Because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because we believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, because we look at our world that is clearly not under the reign or the kingdom of Jesus, and we want so badly for it to be that case, because we want our marriages and our relationships to be under the dominion of Jesus Christ, because that is what is in my heart, out of that, why is why I'm going to act the way that I am. The intentionality and the why of our what changes people's lives. Let's pray for the grace that that may be the case in our lives. At the heart of our faith, and we say it again and again, it's the most quoted biblical passage in the world. John 3:16. And how does that passage go? For God so loved the world. What's the why? God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the what. So that those who believe in him may have eternal life. God so loved the world not just 2,000 years ago in the womb of Mary on Bethlehem as he walked on water. God so loves the world right now at this moment. God so loves the world so much at this moment that he will give you his body and blood. God loves the world so much that he allows us to enter into the representation of Calvary. That is how much he loves us. As he encounters us in this Mass, let's pray for the grace to respond generously. Amen.